Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song as well. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13. 2 Kings, chapter 13. Two verses here this morning, and just a powerful two verses. If you would, if you found that, if you can and would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together this morning. Month of July we've looked at as revival month, and we've been preaching on several situations and events in the Word of God that God's recorded for us where there was great revival taking place. And this morning we're looking here, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. It came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And Lord God, we love you and thank you for, first of all, loving us and for every opportunity that you bring into our lives to draw closer to you. Especially as we assemble ourselves together in your church, sensing your presence, looking into your word. And God, I believe that you have a blessing in store for each and every one that's here today, if they would only but open up their hearts and their minds to what you have for them. I pray, God, that they would do that. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. God, here in 2 Kings in chapter 13, he records the death of the great prophet Elijah. Right after this, right after the death of Elisha, this golden nugget. Two verses. It was after they buried Elisha, more than likely it would have been about a year's time, and a band of robbers, or the Moabites, were invading the land. And that's what the Bible says there in verse 20. And as they were invading the land, there was a man who had died, and they were preparing a sepulcher. Most of the sepulchers, of course, in this day and age that we're looking into, they would have been carved out of the rocks, and then they would have put a stone in front of it, more of a tomb. And as they were preparing this tomb for the man who died, they saw these robbers coming as a band of men, and they didn't have time to finish that, to bury this man. And so right next to him, or close by evidently, was this other tomb that, whether they knew it was the tomb of Elisha or not, the Bible doesn't say, but they opened the tomb up, they rolled back the stone, basically what they would do at that time, that's how they buried. They would carve out an opening in the stone or the rock, and then they would have another stone that they would put in front of it after they would bury that individual. So this man died. They didn't have enough time to finish the sepulcher, the tomb they was going to put him in. And so they rolled back the stone of Elisha's sepulcher, and they placed him in Elisha's tomb. When the dead man touched the bones of Elisha, he was brought back to life. Wow. I mean, what a revival for this man who was dead and yet was brought back to life. He experienced dying. Who knows exactly all that took place with that? Evidently, the Lord had not taken his spirit yet, but he had died, and they were getting ready to bury him, and those around him would have experienced this man dying and the loss of this man. And now this man is brought back to life by touching the bones of Elisha. It would have been a revival for this man. It would have been a revival for his family. It would have been a revival for all those who were impacted by his death that was mourning the loss of this individual. Now, they thought he was dead and gone, and now he is alive before them. And I can just imagine what I would be doing at that time. I would be just praising God, shouting and saying, hallelujah. There's no doubt this would have impacted all of the lives of those that were impacted by his death. This man and Elisha's bones would be the talk of the land. If there was Fox News, they would interview this man and they would say, all right, you were really dead. And he would give confirmation that he died, and they all around and said, yeah, we saw it. He was dead. And what do you attribute this miracle to? Touching the bones of Elisha. Elisha was known as the miracle-working prophet. There's more miracles recorded by Elisha than any other in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. Only Christ himself would have performed more. Elisha was the one who parted the Jordan River after Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. And everyone saw this and said, wow. He has the same power that Elijah had. He was able to part the Jordan River. He raised from the dead the Shunammite woman's son, whom he had blessed to where she could have a child. And then the child died, and she brings it to him, and Elisha performs a miracle like none other. He raised this young boy back to life. He healed Naaman of his leprosy. These are just a few of the stories that you would have read, that we would be familiar with, concerning the miracles that Elisha would have performed. So now he's been buried. He died. And through this man touching the bones of Elisha, a final miracle relating to Elisha, this man was brought back to life. Was Elisha's power in his bones? We find it recorded here, and it's just two verses here, and somewhat, you look at reading, it goes right on with something else, and it's almost like it's out of place, but it's not. It's placed exactly where God wanted it to be placed, because God has a message for us today from what he has recorded concerning the bones of Elisha. Was his power in his bones? There would have been many at this time that would have heard about this man who was dead, brought back to life, and they would have realized that they would have been thinking it was in his bones. There's something special about the bones of Elisha. If we can go get those bones, we can find the fountain of youth. There's always been a desire to find the fountain of youth. And many have thought it to be in different areas and different things, because this is going to allow me to stay young for a longer period of time. This is going to be something as a miracle cure. This is going to be able to cure me of leprosy. This could cure me of cancer. This could be the help that I need. And so you can imagine when they heard and the news got out, there was a great rush to the tombs to find the bones of Elisha. And then if you found the bones of Elisha, if this really took place, then I have the fountain of youth in my hand, and whoever I want to heal, I can just take the bones of Elisha and I can put the bones of Elisha on this individual and they're going to be healed. If he can be brought back to life, they can heal any infirmity. They can do whatever if the power was in the bones of Elisha. If I was there and I heard that, I would have been looking for those bones. And so would you. If we thought power could be in the bones. But then there's no other recordings associated with Elisha's bones. I guarantee you some would have tried. Those bones were not left in the tomb. So what purpose has God in recording this miracle for us? Verse 20, there's only two verses here. Verse 20 helps us to see a fact that Elisha died. Elisha's dead. But the God of Elisha, the one who worked through Elisha, is still alive. If it's not in the bones, then where did Elisha get his power from? Anyone that was around Elisha would have known that Elisha was a servant of the Most High God. Elisha was a prophet of the Creator God. And whatever Elisha was able to do, it was not because of Elisha's bones. It was because of the God that Elisha looked to. The one who worked through Elisha is still alive because he's eternal. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the great I am. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The miracles that Elisha was able to perform were all true. History would have recorded them. They were all true. So how was these miracles performed? Now God revealed here, the last one that associated with Elisha was his bones. But they were not used in any other miracle. So when this took place, you don't give the bones the glory. When Elisha was alive, he did not want the glory. He was to give the glory to God. The prophet Isaiah understood this, and over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 42, in Isaiah chapter 42, the Bible says this in verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. God's revealing it through his prophet Isaiah. I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise is to graven images. God says, whatever it is that I have done, however I got it done, If it was something beyond humanity, it was something beyond the natural, and a miracle is working opposite that which God has established as the natural. If I have worked a miracle, if something has taken place that's outside the natural realm of life and what I have established, whoever I've worked through, I will not share my glory. I will not share my praise. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I'm God. I know the past. I know the present. I know the future. And I've revealed to you what you need to learn and you need to know about the past, present, and the future. As we find Jesus working through the seven churches and revealing to us past, present, and future in the book of Revelation. I tell you them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Whenever you experience something that God has done, sing a song. Praise his name. And his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles of the and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. Wherever the miracles are taking place, whenever you see something that God has accomplished, no matter who he worked through or what he worked through, and you acknowledge that God has done this, give him glory, give him praise. That's what Isaiah is writing. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Wow. So what purpose has God in recording this miracle through the bones of Elisha? First of all, give God the glory. Be thankful for all those whom God might work through, but focus on God. Don't exalt man. We're all the same. There's nothing different about my bones. There's nothing different about your bones. The miracle that whatever you were able to accomplish wasn't because of your bones. Whatever you've accomplished, then give God the glory. Give God the praise. Because it's God who worked through us to accomplish whatever it is. Without God, we could do nothing. With God, I can do all things. Be thankful for all of those whom God might work through, but focus on God. Think back over your life and whom God might have worked through to do something for you. Listen to me. Be thankful for that individual because they were an instrument used in the hand of God, but focus on God. Allow those individuals to inspire us to want God to work through us. No doubt the life of Elisha, especially when they realized it wasn't in the bones, then it would place the power back on Elisha, and they realized that if it wasn't in the bones and Elisha's dead, then it was not Elisha, but it's the God of Elisha that I need to look to, and I need to be inspired by the life of Elisha to allow God to work through me to accomplish things that God wants to accomplish through my life. One of the things that God used in my life, probably the most important and the one that had the greatest impact on me surrendering my life to full-time ministry, was my dad. Dad worked at Ford Motor Company he worked at the railroad for a long time, then Ford Motor Company. He had a heart attack when he was 52 years old, had to have medical retirement at 52. And we moved out to New Palestine, Indiana, and the preacher just happened to live across the street. And he came in one night, and Dad was in tears. I'd never seen my dad cry. And Pastor Lamb said, "Children, your dad has something to tell you." And he told us he got saved. He'd been aware of salvation and understood different things, but he never really had lived the life that God wanted him to live because he hadn't been saved, and he got saved. I seen things change in the home. We started attending services, Sugar Creek Baptist Church. We never missed after Dad got saved. Dad started having devotions with us kids. He lived another 7 years and died at 59 of a massive heart attack. But in the last 2 years of his life, he committed his life to full-time ministry. And as he committed himself to full-time ministry, that's actually what I think took his life. He was so caught up in wanting to make a difference in other people's lives. And that testimony that he left me when I stood over the dead body of my father, and I realized his life impacted me with a desire to let God work through me as he had my dad. Never forget that. Because right after that is when I surrendered to full-time ministry and been involved in full-time ministry now for 43 years. Dad's commitment allowed God to inspire me to want God to work through my life. Because I know it wasn't my dad. It was God working through my dad. Elisha's dead. But the God of Elisha, the one who worked through Elisha, is still alive. The second thing we find here, if you go back with me to our text here, in 2 Kings in chapter 13. Elisha's dead, but the God of Elisha is very much still alive. The bones. Verse 21, it says, "And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived." The bones is what Elisha left behind. The God of Elisha worked through Elisha while he was alive. But then after Elisha died, God was still able to work through what Elisha left behind. The bones represented the life of Elisha, the testimony of Elisha. He was known as a miracle-working prophet. And so what better man to work through than a miracle-working prophet to have one final miracle? God would continue to work through what Elisha left behind. His bones would represent his testimony. Over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, you can write this down and I'll just read it to you, but Hebrews is the faith chapter, and Hebrews in chapter 11, it talks about Abel, and this is what the Bible says about Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain while he lived, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. God used his testimony after Cain slew Abel to reveal to Cain the difference. He being dead, Elisha was dead, but yet his bones were still able to be used. So they continued to speak or impact lives. Isn't that something? God put this in the Bible, and it's a golden nugget. It's something for us to look to and learn from, be blessed by. And that is, first of all, that it is God that deserves the glory no matter what we are accomplishing. Never look to get to receive the glory or the praise of man, but always look to give the glory and the praise to God, because it's God who does it, not you. It's God who does it, not me. If God works through my life, if God has worked through my life to help you in any way, if a message preached has helped you, if I've been able to lead you to the Lord, I've led many of those members of this church to Christ over the past 34 years or so, 37 years. And so if God has worked through my life in any capacity, listen to me, it was not me, it was God working through me. And people all the time give people, say, thank you for that message. I say, praise the Lord. And I literally mean, don't praise me, praise the Lord, because it's not me, it's God. And it's God's word. I'm just a messenger. Yeah. Because I'm going to die someday, I'm going to be gone, but the God that I serve is going to still be alive. And if he's not working through me, he'll work through somebody else to accomplish his will. Even in your life. Yeah. The bones that were left behind represented his testimony. Jesus himself left no bones, but a testimony and a church to inspire us. To allow God to work through our lives as he worked through the life of his only begotten son. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read this to you. Verse 15 and 16, the Bible says this. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Jesus established that. And it is the pillar and the ground of truth. It will continue to be the pillar and the ground of truth all the way through until Christ calls his church home. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. What a testimony that Jesus Christ left behind. His testimony, his life, ought to inspire every one of us to want to allow God to work through us as God worked through his life and to accomplish something for eternity's sake. What an inspiration. What an inspiration. What a testimony. We are to be inspired by the event that we just read in 2 Kings chapter 13 about the bones of Elisha. We are to be inspired to commit ourselves to establishing a testimony for Christ. And as we establish a testimony for Christ, accomplishing things that God will continue to use even after we're gone. My testimony will live on after I'm gone. It will. Your testimony will live on after you're gone. Is it a testimony that will inspire someone else to say, I want the same God of Elisha? I want to accomplish the whatever God wants me to accomplish. See, we need a plan and a purpose to live for. Living life, you've got to have a plan and a purpose. God wants you to have a plan and a purpose. God is the only one that allows life to make any sense at all. Understanding that we are not educated, evolved animals. See, that's the problem with our society today. That's what they're being taught, and that's why they don't have a proper plan and a purpose to live by. It's all about individuals. It's all about self. It's all about me, mine, and whatever I can accomplish, whatever I want. I deserve it. Everyone owes me. Listen to me. That is animalistic. That is not Christianity. There's a purpose and a plan that God has for every one of us. Your life matters. Whether you realize it or not, your testimony is going to live on after you're gone. But is it one that's going to encourage others to seek the God of Elisha? Not only do we need a plan and a purpose to live by, we need to also have a plan and a purpose to die by. My life, now I'm not, of course, my life's not over. Don't get that. I know, but I'm not ready to die right now. But I am aware of death. And I died already once, so I'm ahead of the schedule. I've got 3 years longer than what I than I would have expected. But my plan and my purpose for living is the same plan and purpose to die by. I want to glorify the Lord. I want my testimony to be that there is a God in heaven. Jesus died for your sins. He died to set you free and to reconcile you to an almighty God, and he gives a purpose for living if you'll just but look to him. In Psalm 71, we'll close with this, but in the book of Psalms, chapter 71, and verse 17 and 18, this is what the psalmist David writes. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I realized there was a God from my youth. My dad inspired me, his commitment to God. And I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. David said, not only have I lived to exalt you, but I want my testimony after I'm gone to continue to exalt you in the generations to follow. That's how we all ought to live, and that's how we all ought to face death. My testimony to make an impact on others. If I could have every head bowed this morning. See, God can and will work through any who will yield to Him. Any. That's every one of us here. God can and will work through your life, and your life can make a difference while you live and even in your death if you'll yield to Him. And as you yield to Him, can I tell you what can happen? Revival. Revival can break out even after we're gone. Praise the Lord for the testimony that God can work through. Father, we bow before you now. I love you, Lord. Thank you for this truth of this passage of Scripture, for the life of Elisha and what Elisha's, even after he was gone, yet his bones were still speaking. What a testimony. Help us. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they can't understand this until they get saved. And once they get saved, God, you have a purpose and a plan for their life and for their death. And I pray that we would all be aware of it and yield to it. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.